This is a great day that we in this country can hold up fatherhood. But even more important, this is a great day because God is Heavenly Father. Did you know that Jesus is the one who introduced that? That's not in the Old Testament. Did you know that? In the Old Testament, when it talks about Father, we're talking about Father Abraham. We're talking about a human being. We're talking about a person who left his belongings, left his home country, and ventured out because God called him to. And so the Jews, when they talk about Father in the Old Testament, they're talking about Father Abraham, the patriarch of the faith. But Jesus came along and personalized God for us. And he told us that God is our Father, God, Heavenly Father. He told us we could talk to him. When his disciples said, "Teach us to pray," he said, "Pray like this, our Father." As he was sharing with his disciples in the passage that Troy just read to us, he said, "I'm going to stop speaking to you in parables and examples and metaphors. I'm going to speak to you plainly about your Father." And he said, "When I leave here, you can turn to your Father who is in heaven." Now, we use metaphors a lot. You know what a metaphor is. It's a word that stands for something else. It gives us an image. But Jesus didn't use the term Father as a metaphor, as an image of what God is like. Jesus said, "God is your Heavenly Father." He didn't say, "God is like a Father who is in heaven." Jesus said, "God is your Father who is in heaven." What difference does that make? I think it makes a lot of difference. Because you see, we might not have been so lucky with our earthly father. Some people have earthly fathers who never say, "I love you. I appreciate you. I think you're valuable." Some people have fathers who are mean to them, ugly to them, abuse them physically, maybe even abuse them sexually. Unfortunately, in this world, we have fathers who are just fathers in name only. They're just biological fathers. Jesus said, "God is your Father." He's the Father that you really want. He's the Father you've always dreamed of if you didn't have a good earthly father. Thank God for those who had good earthly fathers and have good fathers now. Or fathers who have seen the light and maybe weren't so good a few years ago and are better fathers now, because God can change our lives. But some of us didn't have such good fathers. Some of us didn't have fathers around at all. And sometimes that gets in the way of turning to God as Father. Because if we think, "Well, if God is like a father, my father wasn't much, why should I think God's that much better?" And you know, some people really do have a problem with God because they've had a problem with their earthly father. And that's why it's important for us to know that Jesus didn't say, "God is like our fathers." Jesus didn't even say, "God is like a good father." Jesus said, "God is your Heavenly Father." That God birthed you. Whoa, that's a shocker, isn't it? It's especially to you women. But it is the very nature of God that brings us into existence. God knows us, according to Jeremiah. At the moment of conception, God has destined us to be all that we can be. That's a God who spiritually gives us life and meaning and hope. Jesus says, God is your Father, just as He is my Father. I know Him intimately. I know how loving He is. He is your Father. He sent me down here so you would know of His great, compassionate love, how much He cares for you, even if your earthly father does not. I remember the joy of ministering several times at a little church called St. Luke's United Methodist Church, north of Burlington. Preached a couple of revivals there, did a workshop there, and did a marriage enrichment retreat for some of the people in that church. I remember one time when Lisa was at UNC Greensboro, she came over and sang at the revival where I was preaching. A wonderful group of people who loved the Lord, were Spirit-filled people. And there was a group of guys in that church that were just, you know, real macho men. Anything that guys liked, they were into. I mean, they were into football and basketball and baseball and the sports, and they had teams and they played often. They were fishermen, Fred. They were hunters. I mean, they were such fanatics as hunters. You know, they went bow hunting, and then they had black powder. You know, you ease into those things so you get more season for hunting. They were dove hunters. I mean, they were into all these manly things that you think about. And I remember one guy who was like a brick wall. I mean, he was just solid built. I mean, a big, husky guy. I'd just soon run into that wall as run into him. I mean, I guess he'd be, since it's flesh and blood, a little bit softer than that wall. But I mean, a muscular, hefty kind of guy. And I remember at the marriage enrichment retreat, as we were closing and having a service of Holy Communion, healing and wholeness, just pulled over a chair. See, anything can be an altar for God. And people came and knelt and brought their hurt and their pain that they wanted healed to Almighty God. And this big old guy comes and kneels down and places his elbows on the chair. And he starts talking to God and saying, if you're really God, why didn't you ever move my father to tell me he loved me? You know, I think he loved me. My mama kept saying, your daddy loves you. He just doesn't know how to express it. How many of us grew up with that? And that young man knelt there and said, my dad's dead, and I never heard him say, I loved him. And I said, well, just talk to your Father in heaven. And maybe He'll lead you to connect with your Father. And so he started praying to God, and in a few minutes, he was talking to his Father. He was pouring out his soul, kneeling there on the floor in front of an old chair. He was pouring out his soul to his Father, saying, Father, why didn't you tell me that you love me? Why didn't you ever do things? Why didn't you ever put your arm around me? You were just so hard on me. All I wanted to hear was those words, Son, I love you. And if you couldn't say the words, just to put your arm around me and let me know that I mattered to you. And he cried. He just boohooed. And he just got out a lifetime of hurt and pain because his earthly father never said, "Son, I love you." Oh, how our souls long for those words from our parents. Oh, how our society desperately needs to hear those words ring out from fathers. Don't let anything, men, get in your way of letting your children know that you love them. Don't expect mama to carry the message for you. Don't expect the paycheck and the house and the cars and the things you provide to say it for you. Don't leave a child on this earth who is longing to hear their father say, "I love you, my son or my daughter." Those valuable words that will ever, ever be spoken. St. Paul gives us a marvelous picture in that 8th chapter of Romans. He says, when we cry, "Abba, Father," it is God's Spirit witnessing to our spirit that we are children of God, and if children of God, fellow heirs with Christ. That we're going to inherit all that God gives to Jesus, and God has given everything to Jesus. We share that. We are fellow heirs with our brother, Christ Jesus, because of our Heavenly Father. But the word St. Paul uses is an interesting word. It's Abba. It's Papa. It's more like Daddy. You know, anyone can be a father. I got a real sweet card yesterday from the woman my son's dating, you know, wishing me a happy Father's Day. And it said, anyone can be a father, but not every father is a dad. Hey, what does that say? You know, when we use the word father, you know, I think of some very prim and proper British thing. It's kind of like, "Father? Father? Here I am, Father. What are you going to say to me, Father?" You know, it's kind of like, can you imagine the queen and royal family just throwing their arms around each other out in public, you know? That's kind of what father does to me. You know, I think, you know, "Father." But, you know, but to be dad, you know, that's a lot more intimate, isn't it? To be dad. And to be daddy. Daddy is even more intimate than that. You know, I love being daddy. I had a father, but I didn't have a dad. And I certainly didn't have a daddy around. And you know, one of my favorite things is to sit in my easy chair and have my children sit on my lap and talk to me. And even now and again with grown children, my son and my daughter, upon occasion, not quite so frequently anymore, sit in daddy's lap and talk to me. And sometimes they sit there and they cry. And I hold them. And I love them. And I cherish them. We need to remember those times. Oh, they're treasures that I can't measure with money. But have you invested in that treasure, dads? Have you been daddy for your children? I don't mean sugar daddy. I don't mean daddy that buys them stuff. I don't mean daddy that pulls out his wallet. I don't mean sugar daddy. I know there's another way you use that word too, but we'll just stick to my definition. But I'm talking about daddy that bonds with his children. You know, you might think that when your children become teenagers, they don't need you that much. You know, they probably need you even more. They're just not as lovable and likable as they were when they were little. They can be ornery sometimes when they're teenagers. But they still need daddy. I don't know if my daughter's ever heard me say this. She's heard me talk about her so many times in church. She might have. I don't know. But you know, I have had times when my daughter and son have sat in my lap. I'd be working over at the desk. I worked at home a lot. And they'd have a need, and they'd talk about something. And dads, just put aside what you're doing. Especially if your kids are in those teen years, and be daddy for them. And I tell you, I've had both of them sit on my legs until they went numb. I couldn't even feel them. I mean, you know that stinging sensation like when your foot falls asleep at night and stuff like that? Well, just have that baby run all the way up your legs. I mean, after a while, you don't even notice the numbness. But you see, it might be another 6 weeks before they're willing to sit in daddy's lap. You better be there for them when they need you, or they'll stop coming to you. Those are some of the things I treasure most as a father. But you know what I treasure more than that? That St. Paul says that God, my heavenly Father, wants to be that kind of daddy for me. That He'll hold me. He'll love me. I can go to Him with anything. I can cry, and He'll comfort me. He'll wrap His everlasting arms around me and nurture me better than I ever nurtured my children. That's the kind of God we have. That's why Jesus wanted us to know He's our Heavenly Father. That's why Paul said, Abba, Daddy, God. Because in Christ Jesus, He came to God in a very special way. And that God wants to love you. You see, God is not like Father. Fathers, Scripture is saying we're supposed to be like God. That's heavy. God is not like a father. Fathers are supposed to be like God, so the children will know Him. Let us pray. Abba, Daddy, God, fold Your arms around us. Reassure us of the love that You have for us. And help us as fathers, as parents, as individuals who may be in the role of father or mother to someone, to emulate Your love, to share the intimacy of that love that wounds, spiritual wounds, mental and psychological wounds might be healed by a daddy love. We ask Your blessings upon us In Jesus' name, amen.